Hey everybody, welcome to Workforce Gaming. I'm Brad, here with Doug.
Hey.
Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Yakuza 8, 9, whatever, with 0 in there. There's a bunch of these games.
Yeah, they're like the 12th one, maybe.
Yeah, there's a lot. But anyway, I just finished up Infinite Wealth, which I'm just going to flat out say right now is the best game of 2024. It is probably one of my top 10 games of all time.
That's great.
I love this game. It is incredible. No notes. Review over.
and I imagine this is like mostly because you're a big Yakuza fan. I'm sure it's like the culmination, it sounds like, from what I've been hearing.
There is a lot of culmination in this. This game took me about 55 hours to play through. So yeah. just for fair game, it's 14 chapters. I'm going to try and stick with what I remember happening in the first chapter or two, just because the game kind of spirals in a lot of directions as you go further along. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to point out a couple of those things that happen in the first 5 to 10 hours that are not necessarily in the marketing quite as much, kind of hinted at more than explicit, but nothing huge spoilers here. But I love this game. So for those of you who aren't familiar with the Like a Dragon series, formerly the Yakuza series, it shifted to JRPG turn-based combat in 7, the prior one. And it's kind of bounced between that and Brawler in sense. But this is well into the story. Our protagonist in this is Ichiban Kasuga, who is kind of this weird, dumb, crazy guy, ex-Yakuza, and also co-starring Kiryu Kazuma, who is the protagonist of Yakuza 0 through 6.
Yes. He's had his story conclude around 4 or 5 times.
This is probably his third very conclusive game. Six, Gaiden and this are all very, very end of Kiryu's story for us. But
sure.
Yeah. He's here. So the game's actually very interesting, and they kind of focused on the initial thing of like, oh no, this is Ichiban and Kiryu's story. And it is. It very much is. And they actually split them, which I didn't know was coming in this. So they're only together for about the first 5 hours.
Oh, really?
Yes. And then it is maybe 5 to 10 hours, like I said, early game. But this game is advertised as taking place solely in Hawaii. That's the whole thing. Yeah. But you actually play as Ichiban in Hawaii and Kiryu in Japan simultaneously. Oh, so basically what happens is the initial setup is Ichiban goes to Hawaii to find his mom, right? Some of your Yakuza ties are like, oh man, like secretly, like we've known who your mom is this whole time. Like your former captain in the Yakuza, he knew who your mom was. He kept it from you. Your mom was hiding out for all these varied reasons, but she wants to talk to you. Go find your mom. You go to Hawaii. Things kind of spiral out of control. You meet up with Kiryu randomly because he hears about this crazy haired guy with a giant ass back tattoo who gets picked up by the cops. And Kiryu's like, well, that fits basically one description. So he goes and meets up with you. And if you played Gaiden, Kiryu's now working for this kind of shadowy government organization. And at the basically, he gets. It's very hard to talk about this game because there is so many spoilers for 7, spoilers for Gaiden, spoilers for everything, because it is this like 9th game in a series. So I'm going to try and avoid them. But basically, Kiryu works for the Shadow Organization in Gaiden. And at the end of Gaiden, they basically say, well, your next mission is go to Hawaii.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So that's how he ends up in Hawaii. Turns out he's looking for the same person that Ichiban is looking for. Oh my goodness. And also, there are these Hawaiian gangs that are also looking for Ichiban's mom, and everybody's kind of centered around this.
Is it Yakuza, though, like who's like looking for him? Or is Like a Dragon just kind of moving away? I mean, there's got to be some Yakuza stuff, I'd imagine, but is it kind of just moving away from being Yakuza stories now?
No.
Okay.
and that's where this kind of gets into that conclusive point, is that a lot of this, if you've played 7, and again, minor spoilers for 7, it's also in Gaiden stuff too, but in 7, kind of the key focal point of the story is dissolving the Yakuza.
Yeah.
So when this game picks up, Ichiban is in Japan working for Hello Work, which is the temp agency that he goes and uses in 7 to find jobs. And you're now specifically recruiting ex-Yakuza into jobs. So when that happened, the Tojo and the Omi Alliance, which are the kind of the two big ones, they disappear. And in this one, you see like this smaller group basically like kind of take this, kind of fill in this power vacuum, because when they did that, what the government did is basically said, okay, there's a 5-year hiatus for all Yakuza. You cannot get hired into a normal company for 5 years because you were in the Yakuza. So obviously you did some shitty things.
I wonder if this is based on real stuff, because I remember hearing there actually are a lot of laws that there was like a for real Yakuza ban sort of thing, and that they're not nearly as powerful as they used to be because of stuff like this.
So again, I don't know the realistic, but that's basically what ends up happening, is that there's this power vacuum because these people have nowhere to go. Ichiban's trying to help them, but again, minor spoilers for that. I'm trying to figure out what I can say without like
it's hard to dance around.
Hard to dance around. But basically, until he gets found out, and then that's what kind of sends him off to Hawaii and puts him in some bad spots, and you kind of get that game starting off of that. But so the Yakuza actually play a big role in this, because then this new one that's coming into this power vacuum, what the crux of the story is basically this group in Hawaii and this new powerful player in the Japanese Yakuza come together to make this deal. Ichiban's in Hawaii dealing with the Hawaiian aspect of it, while Kiryu's in Japan taking down the Yakuza part of it.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So they're kind of like newer groups. They're not just like the traditional Tojo. Oh, I mean, probably spoilers. I'm sure they're probably involved in some way.
I mean, Yakuza people pop up in every game. If you've played a game, like, you know, like, oh, that guy probably going to pop up just because we never saw him die. So he's probably still there somewhere. You know, there is, of course, some of that type of stuff, but it definitely delves back and forth. So there is some Yakuza aspects. It's not gone, because I always kind of had that feeling too. Like, Seven was kind of like, okay, we're done dealing with the Yakuza. And this one, again, very much at the end, maybe we're done dealing with the Yakuza. But one thing that's kind of interesting about this is the Hawaiian side is actually a cult. Like, it gets like you're fighting a cult. And basically, this cult has made a deal with the Yakuza, is kind of where some of this comes from. And again, it's just, it's a much different take now, because you're dealing with something very different than what you were with the Yakuza. I don't want to necessarily get too much more crazy into the story, because this is going to push us past. This is all like 5 or 10 hours into this 50-hour game, by the way. Like,
then the a million backstabbings and twists and
turns. There's one scene in particular, like, this is the best like backstabbing Yakuza scene like in the series. It's so good. I would be curious, just because there is so much backstory, how somebody would feel if this is your first Like a Dragon Yakuza game, just because, again, you really need to know that. And then with Kiryu's part, they really do lean hard into old man Kiryu going down a trip down memory lane with all these things.
It kind of sounds like Metal Gear Solid 4. Like, Metal Gear Solid 4, like, if you haven't played 1 through 3, none of it's going to make sense. Does it feel like that for this, or is that mostly just Kiryu stuff where you're going to feel the most? Because even I feel like I've played a lot of Yakuza games. I'm still like, I don't know, man. I think I'm still a few games behind.
If I were to say, like, what you need to know before this, is I would say make sure you know the endings of 7 and you have the general sense of what's going on in Gaiden. I don't think you need much more than that. Again, I think you're going to lose a lot of the emotional impact, especially with some of the Kiryu stuff, just because, I mean, that's stuff that's been going on for 20 years now. And there's some really good impactful things in there. But I'd be curious to see, because a lot of it is very new. All the Hawaii stuff is very new. There's very little prior content needed for the Hawaii stuff. The Japanese side is where it comes back in a little bit more so.
Yeah, I'm really curious about the Hawaiian setting in general, because it's like, the thing I always liked about Yakuza games is, like, feels like you're being transported to a foreign country. And I mean, Hawaii is different than most, like, the continental U.S., but does it lose anything by being set in Hawaii, or?
No. And again, I think it's fantastical enough. So again, we'll kind of get into that in a second, that, like, Ichiban's whole thing is that he is this mythical hero, and because he has this, like, weird mental state of being that he is this mythical hero, everything is much more fantastical than it actually appears to be. So instead of fighting like a surfer, you're fighting like a surfer with a giant board covered in spikes and instead of just fighting a guy. So that kind of changes it up. I do think it is interesting, because I play the Japanese version, obviously, just because I've stuck with the series and I don't want to hear some English voices coming out of these characters' mouths that I've known for so long. So I played that version. It is interesting because when you're in Hawaii, it feels a little different because you can like read signs now. And
oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And like a lot of like the passing by conversation is in English. And
can you get like a Mountain Dew or a Dr. Pepper? Or
I kind of looked because I know there's some like very Japanese specific things that are kind of like there. I couldn't find anything, but.
Okay, there's no like American like, oh, you can buy Doritos because
you're in America, no. Or anything like I did not find Doritos or Dr. Pepper or whatever other random curious thing you yeah want. But it is weird just because you get that feeling. It almost felt a little bit odd just because you bump into a lot of Japanese people in Hawaii conveniently, yeah, which I mean there definitely is population groups there, but it's like,
yeah,
for some reason every important person in this game happens to speak Japanese in Hawaii. Oh, okay. It's more where it's like, okay, that's a little bit funky, more so than like I'm not in this weird place that I've never been to before.
I've heard sometimes like the Japanese American voice actors are not American or something like that, like when they're speaking English, like it's very like they're straddling a weird line that's not quite there yet.
There's some very weird things just because like when you go into battles, like in the prior thing, it's like line in Japanese, you have no idea what it is, but it's just somebody yelling angrily at Japanese because they don't caption it because it's just like the battle intro, and it's like, I'm going to beat up your ass, like very like weird, like disconnected, like I'm gonna punch you in your face, like very like, oh, I get what you're going for, but it's not it just feels a little funky.
It's not something an American would say necessarily.
Yeah. Yes, it's not the American. It's like, it's very much that, like, I think this is what Americans would say in this situation if they were getting into a fight. Let's throw that in there.
I wonder if this was that game, that Ghost of Tsushima thing. I wonder if that's like the same. That's like when Japanese people play that, they're like, this is weird.
it's very, like, choppy. Like, it's very much clearly like, okay, this might be, like, probably a non-native speaker, which, again, some of the people in this are Japanese and everything. But it does seem very odd there with some of that. And, again, just even walking downtown, you hear people yelling out at you, and you're like, wait, oh, you're telling me to come to your store. Okay. It's just, like, slightly off-putting there.
Yeah.
The combat in this is amazing, to move into that. It is turn-based. It's lots of free movement, so you kind of get each character get your circle to kind of walk around in and pace around in. You get your different skills, and then a basic attack, basically. The basic attack, though, works kind of cool because depending on how close you are, you can get knockbacks, you can get all this other stuff. So there's a lot of planning around with like where things go. It's very clear how it works. I think in 7, there was a lot of like, am I going to hit that guy? If I hit this guy, will he hit into that guy? There's lots of arrows, lots of things on the ground, like lots of like highlights of like where things are going to go, who's going to be where. And I don't think I ever ran into a situation like I did in 7 a lot where it's like, I think this will work if I do this. Everything was like, nope, that's on. It works really well.
Does it feel like, as far as like other JRPG systems, is like just like a decent JRPG system, or is it like kind of like, it's good, but it's not like, it's still not up to snuff of like, obviously not the best of the best, but like, is it up to stuff of just like standard JRPG this point?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay, I don't think there's nothing that I would sit here and go, oh, you need to improve that. I don't think it doesn't have any like crazy unique systems. Like I think a lot of them do. It's got your basic, you've got your HP, your MP. Each character gets a tag with either Kiryu or Ichiban. Which kind of builds meter as you go through. It's got turn order on the screen. You've got your buffs, debuffs. You have all your general things there. There's no thing that like stands out. I know a lot. I think like a lot of things when they go turn-based now, when you play a turn-based game, it's like, we need this specific thing to make it feel like it's not just another turn-based game.
Sure. Yeah.
It very much has that. This is another turn-based game. It's done really well. I wouldn't change anything about it. I love turn-based games, but if that's not your thing, like it is very just a straight turn-based combat game.
Sure.
But again, the fun part is just the weird thing, because you'll just walk into a group of people on the street and then they transform into a giant, like, very American Uncle Sam holding a hot dog. Like, you're fighting that. You're fighting, like, you just walk up to a guy and now all of a sudden it's like a sumo wrestler. Like, you walk up to a guy and now all of a sudden he's got just like a barrel of like giant gasoline to throw at you. Like, all this kind of stuff. The jobs are crazy. There's like very Hawaiian themed ones. You can get like a hula dancer. You can get a surfboard guy, like all very themed that way. They all have like hilarious final moves. Just a couple that stick out to me. Like if you have the cabbie job, like the last one is like throwing people in a van and just bouncing them all around.
That's cool.
There's another one where you put everybody, I think it's the chef, but you put everybody in a giant wok and then like just like fire them up in a giant wok. Like there's very, very cool things like that throughout the thing, just with the jobs.
So this one like leans way more into the, I mean, 7 was already kind of like, the series is silly, 7 was leaning a little sillier. Is this just like the silliest? And is it still able, even though it's going hard silly, to balance that with like Yakuza we're being serious story? Or is it like leaning more one way or the other? Okay, it's still...
I think it draws a good middle line. I think if you're doing side stuff, it leans goofy. But as soon as you're in that like, okay, it's main story time, like it is intense. There are some crazy intense moments in this. A lot of things kind of called back to other like serious moments in Yakuza games prior. Mm-hmm. A lot of Kiryu's motivation has to do with things that have happened in the past. And it's just, it is very much, especially like, there's a couple scenes that like really got me in this. It's like, oh, this is intense, man. This is crazy. I don't think anything we talked about in our review of Gaiden, I don't think anything hit the ending of Gaiden levels of like, oh no. But like,
I gotta see this ending of Gaiden.
The ending of Gaiden is one of the best endings to a game ever. But this has a lot of very close moments. The ending scene of it is like perfection. I also thought it was really interesting because it very much has like an overarching like theme. Like you would have to do, like if you're like writing a high school essay, you're like, oh yeah, my theme of my essay is this. And it's like,
yeah,
it very clearly has this theme of like atonement. And that's especially true with Kiryu, of like how Kiryu goes through it. And if you've played the other game with Ichiban, like he very much has this, every person deserves a second chance if they're willing to work for it. And the game very much plays with that. And it's very interesting to see because it runs throughout it. I mean, 55 hours and every couple hours you're reminded of this theme. Like, I mentioned early Ichiban, his whole thing is like, these people were in the Yakuza. Most of them were suckered into being here. Most of them were born into it. Most of it was like the only resource they had. Like, if you're willing to work your way out of it, I want to help you with that. And as you go through the game, there's lots of this happening with these characters who double cross people or maybe aren't who they seem, or maybe like mess with you in some way, shape or form. Be they main characters, side characters, sub stories, everything. And a lot of it just comes back to that point of like, no, like people deserve a second chance if they're going to work for it. And people deserve a second chance. And it's just, it's crazy because that comes from like the beginning of the game to the last scene. It's there the entire way. It's just, it's so cool.
No, it is cool because it seems like there's like a lot of games that are kind of like for older people, I guess, are kind of reflecting back and like on their lives. And interesting, like God of War is like an obvious example of that kind of stuff. Red Dead's also very similar to that. It's just interesting seeing, I feel like Japanese games just in general tend to skew younger, like Persona series, Final Fantasy and stuff, like all those characters are like in their 20s or 14-15. This seems like the first like Japanese game at least I've seen where like it kind of acknowledges, you know, a 40-year-old looking back on their past sort of thing, which this actually seems really interesting.
Yeah, so Kiryu especially, like, again, once you get into some of the collectible things, one of Kiryu's is literally to like go around and like he reminisces on things. So like it'll be like you walk past a store and you're like, oh man, I remember this one time when I went into a store like this and such was there and did such and such. And it's like hint, and it's like, oh, this is clearly like referencing this thing from Yakuza 4. And then you like go through. That's so cool. Like he very much does that throughout the game, throughout the collectibles. And then similar to that, and I think you mentioned this at one point, this is like, it feels like grown-up Persona at times, because in Persona you have all these like weird like, oh, like let's go study after class and I'll meet you in the hallway after between this. It's like as you're walking around you have just character moments. You actually have, it's kind of funny, you have like a bingo card for each character, 16 squares, so like you walk around and it's like you walk past a pizza place and then like Nanba's like, oh man, like I love pizza, that's my favorite food, I ate so much pizza when I was homeless because people would just leave a slice in a box, and you're like, okay. And then your bingo card pops up and like boop, and it cuts that one out, and then you get like a little bonus for getting like 4 in a row, and you get bonus points for your bonds with these people.
Oh, that's cool.
And then once you get, I think there's 5 for each, but once you get like a certain bond level, it's like, hey, Nanba'd like to go have a drink with you. And you just go to a bar and you sit and chat with Nanba for a minute. And it's like specific, like adult themes more so than like, oh man, like the algebra test. I don't like Persona, so I'm being very condescending to Persona. But
I get it.
It's much more like, oh man, like my wife left me and here's where I'm at now. And like I've been, you know, living with this for so long. Or like, oh, I have this issue with this other person who's been doing da-da-da-da. It's like,
they're adult problems.
Yes, it's very much you go to the bar, you have a drink with like your friend and deal with adult problems. It's very, very well done. I just, I could go on forever about this game, but like, I literally have no negative notes about this. It is.
It's just perfect. That's funny, because I know with like Yakuza games, you like them, but you always seem to be kind of like up and down on certain aspects of them. But like our chats back and forth, you're like, this is the best game that's ever been made.
it's up there. Like it's definitely probably my top 10 games ever. I initially was like a little hesitant on it. I don't think it starts as strong. Sure. I will say that I think, I take that back. I think like the first like 4 hours are really strong. And then because it's so mini game heavy, there is a like 5 hour chunk where it just feels like you're doing mini games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let me introduce you to this. Let me show you this. Let me show you this. Have you been over here? Have you checked out the jobs?
Oh, gotcha.
Like there's a long introduction to systems, but I was actually laughing because I stopped writing notes after like the first few hours. So I'm like, I just love this. I don't even know. And all my notes are like, is this okay? Is it? It's like, yep, it's okay. Yep, that's good. Yep, that's
good. So it's just that like that one little bit of hump. And then once you're, because then it's just, it needs to introduce you to like 20 different mini games. Sort of,
yeah, because so it's like, stuff we need one. To introduce you to the job system. We need to introduce you to the combat. Like, oh, okay. Like now you need to make money. Here's 3 mini games you can do to make money. Like, oh, when you're walking around, you'll get sub stories. Here, let us do 2 sub stories so you can see what that's on. Gotcha. Oh, it's your first time riding on the trolley. Let us show you this trolley minigame. Oh, you walked over here. Well, over here in this part of town, it's lots of that type of stuff. Like, oh, here's what a dungeon looks like. Here's how to get through the dungeon. And it's just like, okay, minigame. I get it. And it's just this, like, pause. Now, again, looking back on it, it works because it's a really good way to introduce you to kind of this whole Hawaii setting because it is a little bit different than Kamurocho ever was, Yokohama, all those Japanese settings that we've been used to over the years. So it works eventually, but I did have this kind of like, uh-oh. Are we going? And then they're like, oh, okay, cool. We're back in it. We're good. That's all side stuff. We're good. Sure. But I love it. It's amazing. You should play it. It's my game of the year. Like I thought it was like, in my mind, I was like, nothing's gonna beat 7 Rebirth. And now I'm like playing this. It's like, I don't even think 7 Rebirth can, Final Fantasy Rebirth can't live up to this. I don't think it can. I don't think it's possible. This game is too damn good this game has no right to be this good. It's one of those feelings where like, you're just almost shocked at how good something is. It's like a Tears of the Kingdom, a Red Dead 2. Those games come out and you're like, this is gonna be great. Yep. It's great. It's like, okay. It's a Like a Dragon game. It's going to be pretty damn good, and I'm going to love it. It's like, oh, no, this is incredible, and I love it.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome, because I always feel like the culmination games always kind of can be a little hit or miss. Kingdom Hearts 3 is a little hit or miss, but it sounds like this one's just like, no, this one's awesome.
That's cool. it is like the third culmination game, but, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
They've had their practice rounds to get to the good culmination game, but anyway. That's a good point. We are Workforce Gaming. Subscribe to our channel. Leave a comment below. There's a link to support us on Ko-fi below as well. We'll see you later.
Bye.